I hope the kids weren't watching that. Don't jump off the stage, kids. As is our practice here at Living Christ, we pray for the pastor who or the person is giving us the message. So we all raise a hand to the front here as we pray for Pastor Jeff. God, we affirm this week that Pastor Jeff has been with you in community, in your word, in his preparation. And God, we pray collectively as a church and as a family for your boldness to flow through him and for this truth to flow through his word. God, we pray that he would be removed from any illness right now, and that it would be removed from him as well. God, we pray that you would give him peace, that you would give him strength. And God, that this word would bring us renewal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Whew. I'm going to sit a little bit today, if that's okay. I'm on my second or third sinus infection of the year, so I'm on some medication this morning and just trying to stay upright. But I have something I really want to share with you this morning, and I'm going to give you my entire being this morning to get that across to you. We started last week talking about how God desires for us to love our neighbor. And we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. And the conclusion that we came to was that our neighbor is anyone who is in need. Our neighbor is not our choosing. We don't get to choose who our neighbor is. So we don't choose the people we like to be neighborly to. It's the people God puts in our path that he desires for us to love on because they're in need. And all of us are in need of Jesus. And Jesus tells that story in Luke chapter 10, and then he goes on to tell the next story at the end of the chapter. It's a short little story, but there's some really profound things in this story. It's found in Luke chapter 10. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, there's one right in front of you. It's page 1006. And it starts in verse 38. But I want to tell you my conclusion before I even start. My conclusion is this, that God is requiring us to be present. God desires and requires us to be present. And so this morning we're going to look at this story that's really about hospitality, how we show hospitality to one another. And my conclusion is, you really show hospitality to people when you're present with them. Have you ever had one of those scenarios, one of those moments in your life where you're interacting with somebody and something magical happens because you use these things on the side of your head called ears? You ever had one of those? I had this opportunity back in 2001. My grandparents had just got a brand new fifth wheel. And if you don't know what a fifth wheel is, it's a huge RV that you pull behind a truck. And they would take it all over the country, and they had gotten a new one. And they wanted to show it off to us. They drove from Michigan to New York to show it to us. And so my grandparents said, come on out. We want to show you the RV. And so we went out, and we're looking all over and watching the sides open and close and all these bells and whistles and gadgets and all. And I was thoroughly consumed with those things. And part of me was like, all right, that's really good. I'm going to go see your grandma and grandpa. Have a good night. Let me go inside because I was a little tired. And but I had just seen the movie Pearl Harbor, which I know it dates me a little bit. But I had just seen this movie, and it was about, it was a fictional story about a non-fictional event that really happened and the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor was the reason that my grandfather went into World War II. He lied about his age. He was only 17, lied about his age so he could get in the Navy, and he served on an aircraft carrier in World War II in the Pacific. And I just asked him a simple question. What was it like for you, Grandpa, on that aircraft carrier? I had heard stories about what happened. He was actually injured on an aircraft carrier and finished his tour because of it. But I'd never heard him talk about his experience before. I said, Grandpa, this movie came out, and there's some really scary stuff that took place in that movie. What's your story? And for the next 45 minutes, he rattled off story after story after story of his experience on an aircraft carrier. And my grandmother was standing there, and they, at the time, they had been married 60 years, and she had never once heard any one of those stories. Never once. And he is just sharing his life experience with me. And I was sitting at his feet, soaking in this truth that he was giving me. And all I could say to him was, Grandpa, thank you. I don't know if everybody in my generation understands what you did for us. I don't know if everybody in my generation understands what you gave to this country. And so I just want to thank you for serving and just thank you for being my grandfather. And it was this moment that was magical. And if I wouldn't engage in that conversation, if I would just would have been thoroughly consumed with this great, amazing RV, I would have missed out on this opportunity. My grandmother would have missed out on this opportunity to hear short stories from her husband that she had never heard before. Simply by asking my grandfather, tell me your story, and being present with him. Let's look at this story here in Luke chapter 10 about how being present thoroughly in my mind makes all the difference when it comes to this thing called hospitality. We're going to read the whole thing, and I want to go back through and just highlight a couple things for us this morning. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me! Exclamation point. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Lord Jesus, I ask that as we go back over this story, as we listen to these things, as we hear these truths in here, that this word would land on us with power and authority, that it would transform us, consume us, and compel us to act appropriately. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to break this up into three pieces, three nuggets for you this morning that I think are really, really important. And I really see I'm going to tell you again, I see these three conclusions or these three outcomes in this story. I think there's three responses for us, and I'm going to tell them to you now. I think the responses are either one of two things. We need to think about the concept of serving. Do we need to serve one another? We're serving, but we're so concerned with serving that we're missing the person. And then we're being present so much so that we stay there and then we don't act. Those three things. Either we need to be compelled to serve, either we're serving, but we're so focused on serving that we miss the person we're serving, or third, we're so consumed with that person that we forget to act. Those three things I think God is calling us through this morning. I just want to look at this first section here in 38 and 39. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha had opened up her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And this is really, really important. And I need to give you the cultural context of what's going on here. When you sat and listened at someone's feet, you were making yourself a disciple. So the mere fact that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, she desired to hear what Jesus had to say. And this is culturally relevant for two reasons. One, if you wanted to become somebody's disciple, you put them at your feet. And two, women normally didn't do this. All right? This was normally not for them. You sit at the feet of the person you want to learn from, and two, women normally didn't do this. And so there was a cultural thing that was taking place here. There was some angst taking place in this story from the very beginning. When you sit and listen to what's going on in somebody's life and their soul, there's something powerful that takes place. I love to read the Bible, love to read it. There is story after story after story after story that's amazing. But if I read the Bible and it doesn't affect my life, then I'm not changed. I can sit at the feet of somebody and listen to their story, but if their goodness doesn't affect me for good, then it means nothing. And if their hurt doesn't affect me to desire me to want to respond in love, then sitting at their feet means nothing. And so this wasn't just sitting at Jesus' feet for the sake of sitting at Jesus' feet so she could get out of some work. There was something compelling about Jesus that she wanted to know, that she wanted allowed to change her life, and so she sat at Jesus' feet. The whole thing has to go together. Otherwise, it's meaningless. You can sit there for no reason. You can hear and it doesn't register. You can hear and register and you don't apply it. But if all that doesn't happen, then we're really not changed. And then we have this second section here. So you have Mary breaking the rules, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what Jesus had to say, breaking the rules, and her sister breaking the rules. This is the viewpoint of Martha. And this is the lens at which Martha sees things. In verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had been made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me. Can you feel the angst in there? If you're a server, if you naturally serve and you naturally see the things around that need to be picked up and somebody walks right by, there is something inside of you that takes over and goes, what is wrong with you? Pick that up. It happens in our house all the time. All the time. I do it. I leave it all out. My wife loves to have a nice, clean house. And I'll just, I don't know what compels me. I'll take my socks off and leave them in the middle. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know why I do it. Because it literally makes no sense, because by nature, I love to serve people. If it's not in my home, I will serve you to death. What do you need? What do you want? What do you? I love to serve. But then, I don't know, something just takes over and it's like, no good anymore. I do it like my kids with lights in the house. I don't know what happened. I don't know when this transition took place. I hear my dad inside of me, just turn the light off. Just turn it off. You go upstairs, I turn, I come downstairs, and like all the lights are on in the house. No! And then I have to explain to Shirley why my electric bill is so high. Because I run around shutting all the lights off. So can you, I mean, can you own this with her for a minute? In her mind, she is slaving. And please understand, there's nothing that she's doing that's wrong. Right? We need to learn from Martha. Some of us need to serve. We're so busy consuming that we're not serving. And we've kind of built up this culture in America where it's consuming. And we have all this consumer mentality, and there's 10% of the people serving you, and you don't care. One of my least favorite things to do is walk around the mall. Why? Because I feel Martha's angst welling up inside of me. My wife and I were standing out in front of a store, when I can't remember what we were doing. We were standing out in front of a store, and there's a group of people, and they were sitting in the mall at one of those chair sections. And they were eating some food and this kind of stuff. And they just got up, left it on the table, and just walked. And the Martha inside of me just wanted to walk up and grab him by the ear and go, who do you think is going to clean this up? I apparently I'm aging. Yeah, meanwhile, I'm throwing my socks on the floor. I'm such a hypocrite. Thank you for that. So can you feel this for a moment? There's absolutely there's nothing wrong with what Martha's doing, right? She is serving the Son of God. She's serving him. But in that serving, she is distracted from what's really important. And there's so many truths that come out of this. You can I've studied this Bible, this amazing book. I have studied this. But if I'm so focused on studying it and forget the author, then it means absolutely nothing. You can serve people to death, but if you don't meet them where they're at, your service means nothing. It means nothing. This manifests itself all the time during Thanksgiving. You spend 16 hours prepping this food that lasts 30 minutes. And everybody's all angst and banter, and then you end up fighting when it's supposed to be family time. And that same thing can take place. We can read this book and understand the truths of God, and then see our brother or our sister in Christ not understanding or knowing what we do, and we rip them apart instead of leading them to Jesus. You can have a whole bunch of knowledge, but if you don't have the relationship, it means nothing. You can serve yourself to death, but if your service distracts you from the one you're serving, it means nothing. It means nothing. And Martha has gotten so caught up in this that she missed the fact that the Son of God was in her home. Was in her home. So Jesus concludes with this truth for her. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. It's not that your service is wrong. But you're so focused on serving that you forgot that I'm right here. And that chosen piece comes from this concept of the choice piece of the whole. So the whole day was good. The fact that Jesus came to enter into their home was good. The fact that Martha desired to serve God was good. But all those things have to culminate with her sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus was saying, listen, Martha, I love what you're doing for me. I love it. I love the fact that you're serving me. But put that dish down for a minute. Leave that meal in the oven for a second. Come over here and sit and be present. Have you ever interacted with somebody that you knew was present with you before? You ever had one of those experiences? This is a hard thing for us now. I do this all the time. When I'm engaging in a conversation with somebody, oftentimes I'm thinking about what they're saying and how I'm going to respond before they're done. Anybody else? No? Okay. I'm the only one that needs that help, apparently. I had a mentor at one point in my life, who was really great at this. And at every single time I got together with him, his entire posture was 100% locked in with me. He would sit, everything about his body language, everything about what was going on, he would sit and he would lock and he would look me right in the eyes and he would listen to every single word that was coming out of my mouth. He would consume it, he would process it, and then he would help me. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, something miraculous happens. You know what happens? We no longer focus on the things in our life that don't matter. We no longer focus on the fact that we are flawed, because we are. We no longer focus on all the stuff that needs to leave us, because we're focused on him. And then something magical happens. You become like the person that you're focused on. And so when Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, Jesus changed her. And her focus became about Jesus. And when you sit at the feet of Jesus, something miraculous happens. You sin less. You act out your sin less. You respond more like Jesus. You see the things Jesus sees. Your heart radiates with the things that Jesus loves. And something magical takes place. You become more like him. Sometimes we're so consumed with serving him that we miss him. Sometimes we don't even see him and we miss the whole thing. And sometimes sitting in the feet of Jesus and allowing him to consume us desires and requires that we go and respond and we act. We have to and we must. I want to wrap us up this morning with this call of action to us. This call of action for you. See, Jesus is calling you. Spiritual truth. The worship team's going to come back up. There is a call to response here. This is not just a nice little neat story on a page. This is biblical truth that will change and transform your life. We need to let it. So this morning, maybe service isn't even on your radar. Maybe you're just so busy going and looking at all the great things that are coming your way. And the focus is a little bit here and the eyes need to change and look out. This morning, no commitment that you write on a piece of paper and throw away and forget this tomorrow. Put something in your phone. Give yourself some kind of reminder each and every single morning this week. Today, when I wake up, my eyes are going to be out as opposed to in. Or maybe you find yourself in that next category. You love to serve, you love to consume, you love to hear all the good stuff about Jesus. But there's a world out there who needs to see, receive, hear, and be loved on by him. Maybe this morning, you need to put in your phone, your day planner, whatever, and say, every single day this week, how can I be present with the person that I come in contact with? Maybe it's been a long, long time since you've spent some time sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so every morning this week, start off the day sitting and being present with the Lord. No agenda, no list of things you're going to do, just sitting and being present with him. Those three things. Maybe your eyes need to turn and look out. Maybe you need to sit and be present. And maybe that presence needs to change you so that you can love on the world around you. I love what we did at the street fair. It was super simple, but super relevant. We just had a booth with some art supplies and some water and said, come. And our team just sat and painted pictures with kids and interacted with parents. There was no, you need to understand and believe what I believe. It was simply being present in a town that needs Jesus. So simple. What is something simple? Something simple. Not that you can do, but you can be this week. To sit and be present so that the world can see the presence of Jesus upon you. I want to pray for you. So put your hands out. Lord, so easily, in our agenda, in our to-do list of life, we could hear what was said this morning and add it to the list. Lord, I ask spiritually this morning that you would just cut up the list. The list would be cut up. That your presence would fall on every single person here this morning. That you would fill them with such a sense of truth that they could not run. That this week, each and every single morning, as they focus on one of those three things, that it would be magical, that you would be present, that it would be life transformation. Lord, we really want the people around us to know you. I pray that and I count it done in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing one last song.